This episode of the A-List Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag and Indeed.com. Welcome again to another week of the A-List Podcast. I'm your co-host, Kwani, with A. Sherrod Blakely and Gary Washburn, as usual. How are you two doing?
Wonderful, co-host.
Do you call it co-host when there are three people?
Yes.
Oh, that's whack. They should have a new title for that.
Give it a new, Kwani, let's just make it, create a new word day. Kwani, you up first.
Tri-host, like T-R-I, host.
I'm going with Gary Washburn's face on this one and say that's a no-go.
This is not my best work. Under the pressure. Gary, what do you have?
I don't really have a new word today. Just, you know, I don't have any new words.
Gary the wordsmith, maybe?
I ain't got nothing, man.
Okay, so my answer is better than all y'all's then. At least I had an answer.
Guadalupeisms. That's my new word. Right. Making up words that don't make a damn difference. Nobody but a Guadalupeism.
All right, fine, whatever. Let's get to the Celtics. They're continuing to win as per usual. They're looking pretty good. They're the league best 20-5 record right now, the best 25 game start since 2018. What do you make of this team? I feel like we talk about this every week. You can't criticize the good, but what do you have to say?
Well, we talk about them every week because they're finding different ways to beat teams. I mean, for the longest, they were just simply out shooting teams, just knocking down shot after shot. But lately, they're showing a little bit of that defensive edge that I thought we would see more of at this point in the season as they kind of figured out who they are and what they can do. But they're, again, this Celtics team is understanding that at the end of the day, it's about getting wins, stacking them win chips. And they're doing that in a lot of different ways. And that, I think, is what makes them a very difficult team as we continue to go forward, because they don't really have one or two things you can take away and expect to beat them. You try to limit Jason Tatum and force him to make more turnovers. Jaylen Brown hits you for 30-35. If you force Jaylen to, you know, not do some of the things he likes to do, Tatum can hurt you. Grant Williams can hurt you. You know, Blake Griffin, they can dust the mothballs off of Blake Griffin.
And he can start now and do well.
So they're making it very difficult for teams to figure out a game plan on how to stop them.
Yeah, I think they're playing just good basketball and doing exactly what they want to do at the beginning of the season is get off to a fast start. And I don't think we can overplay the significance of winning at Brooklyn and at Toronto. Like, you know, they haven't had great luck at Brooklyn. No, they swept them. I'm talking about before then. You know, Brooklyn's a tough team. Brooklyn's a good team at home in terms of you got two superstars in KD and Kyrie. And they pretty much handled them. They led for the last, you know, 2.5 quarters and kind of kept pushing them back and held them to 92 points. And then, you know, Toronto coming off, had a day off and they're very physical. And it looked like, you know, I think it was like 64-54 or something like that. Like, okay, this is going to be one of them games where the Celtics just kind of get blown away. Like maybe the two games in Chicago, but they kind of held their own. They cut it to 6 by halftime. Yeah, I think it was like 54-44, something like that. Then it was 62-56 at halftime, and then just punched them repeatedly in the third quarter and took control. And that's a good Toronto team, not a great team. You know, I think they'll be a lot better in April when they get healthy. But that's a good club playing at home, all that. No, and it was cool for Jason and Jaylen to show out again in front of Kaepernick. Kaepernick was at the game. So I thought two impressive wins, especially the one in Toronto on a back-to-back without Brogdon, without Horford, Blake Griffin playing 32 minutes, the most he's played in a regular season game since his last game with the Pistons. Once upon a time where, you know, before he asked for the buyout and left Sherrod's favorite town, you know, so that's two plus years ago. And Blake said he was okay. I thought they really wanted to keep him about 23 minutes, but he kept playing and he finished the game. So, and he said something very important. He said he's getting healthier. Like you said, it took him a while to get his leg right for him to get back. So this is a good thing that they can push him. Not saying they're going to play him 35 minutes. Now he might not play for another week, but the fact that he played almost 33 minutes I think is a huge sign that he's getting better, because I just remember that game in Detroit a couple weeks ago where he played 18 minutes in the first half and he had no mo in the tank for that second half. So obviously he's getting in better shape. Obviously he's in great shape, but obviously, as you guys know, there's a difference between shape at the gym and shape on the basketball court. That's two totally different things. So it looks like a good sign for the Celtics is Blake has his legs under him now, which is very important for a guy with leg problems. And I was just thoroughly impressed with the way they were able to win. Now, they're a little hairy in the end. They could have made some more plays toward the end, and they got a little sloppy. And Toronto made it interesting. But two wins against two division opponents, two teams that were shooting for them, that was like, okay, that's the Celtics are on the schedule. Let's get them. And the Celtics still came out and got two dubs. I was impressed.
And I know we, you know, I mean, obviously it wasn't the most recent game, but I wanted to just go back real quick and just kind of look at that Brooklyn game and really liken on what that game meant. Because to me, that game felt very much like almost a passing of the guard, if you will, with Jason and Jaylen showing that they're not just really good young players, as Kyrie liked to refer to them often as. No, they're really good players that can not only compete with you, they can go into your building and embarrass you. I mean, there were moments in that game where Jason and Jaylen had just moments with Kevin Durant where Kevin Durant, for one of the few times, looked old. I mean, when he lost control of the one-time ball and Jaylen is coming from the blind side, they had equal opportunity to get to that loose ball. And Jaylen got the ball, dribbled down court, slam dunk. And then later on, Tatum did pretty much damn near the same thing. And Kyrie, you got Peyton Pritchard, the other number 11, giving you the business. I mean, like ISOing, hitting you with the hizzy, raising up.
Do that again.
Gary, that's the sound that happens when you break somebody's ankle. Now, clearly,
the podcast has officially gone off the rails.
What's that?
The podcast has officially gone off the rails.
That is
Sherrod is God Sham God.
That is what Kyrie is used to doing to other people. That is what it was done to Kyrie, and we don't see that happen often. And you don't got Tatum doing that. You don't got Jaylen. You got Peyton Pritchard doing that to you. That game felt so much like this is a team that we thought was going to be great in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. They've had this, that, and the other happen to them. And now not only have the Celtics come up and shown that they're ready to take the mantle, but they're not even like going to let you compete with them. They're not even going to let you like even sniff the crown. It felt like this was the beginning of the Celtics just pulling away from Brooklyn, who we don't know what they're going to do at the end of the season. We don't even know what they're going to do in season. I mean, I think Kevin Durant's going to be there till the end of the season. I think we talked about this before, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't be shocked if Brooklyn goes into a funk and decides, you know what? Let's just get out when we can get out. When we can get like 3-4 first-round picks for Kevin Durant, mm-hmm. and keep it moving, because he ain't going to want to be here after this, because it's not going to get better. This situation will not get any better than it is now, and that's a problem. But more than anything else, it felt as though that game was the Celtics' way of saying, we here, we ain't going nowhere, and I don't give a damn what you say, Kyrie. We better than y'all. We are better than y'all. The young boys have come up. The come up is here. It's not about the come up no more. It's the we here. There is no come up anymore.
Okay.
Come up is officially over.
Okay, Sherrod.
I got you. The Celtics clearly have been coming up this season, but another
that's
thing.
Word of the day, come up.
That's his word.
I'm talking like an uncle. Webster.
Uncle at the cookout.
Well, who noticed, and it was dear to my heart, when Jaylen said after the Brooklyn game, as soon as he said it was on and cracking. I was like, that's right. Something in my generation. He was like, it's on and cracking. I was like, youngsters don't know what that means.
What you know about that?
After the Brooklyn game, he said it was on and cracking.
Gary Washburn's eye when he heard
that. Oh, my God. I was like, yes, you've learned something, my son. On and cracking. Anyway, when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you, Jaylen. Thank you for that
shout
one.
Out to Jaylen's grandpa. Because that's something that I can see Jaylen's grandpa telling him. I can ask him to see that.
Hold on, crack it. Sorry, Kwani.
No, we've talked about the success of this team so far. On Tuesday, the NBA actually announced that Maurice Podoloff Trophy, that's going to be the trophy named after the first commissioner of the NBA, that will be awarded to the team with the best record in the 82-game season. Seems like the Celtics are on track to do that, but do you both think that it could possibly win the inaugural trophy?
What do you think, Gary?
Well, one, I think the NBA is really trying to do this soccer shit. Excuse my language. Like,
it's our podcast. You can best, hear it, I think.
The best regular season record. Like, really? Like, we're doing the participation trophy.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing the participation trophy. I mean, very nice. Where do you put that trophy in your case, Sherrod, if you lose the first round of playoffs? Where exactly does that go?
That's a good point.
Where does that go? Where do the Celtics put? Do they put a banner up? Best regular season record? Like,
yeah, you know where
it
goes.
The Colts did it. The Colts have the AFC finalist banner, so I guess that's wow. Essentially what that's it is.
Gary, I'll tell you where it goes. It goes on eBay.
Yeah.
And you use that money to give to it to charity.
Go to the Shamrock Foundation. Exactly. Shout out to the Shamrock Foundation. Throw some of that money to the Juice Foundation, too. Joe, those
shout out to the Juice Foundation.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about that.
But to me, I mean,
Young Game Chamber. Come on now.
Marcus is saying, yep. All of them.
See what you started
calling. I started.
Young Game Changers, Juice Foundation. I mean, I just don't know what to say about these things. I wish the NBA would ask the players what they think about some of these things, like the play-in tournament and now the regular season award. This is not soccer. Like, I just think that I get it. Like, soccer is the dominant sport in the world and all these things. It's just like, if you're going to do that, then you know what? Drop the Orlando Magic to the G League and bring up the best G League team. Bring up the Rio Grande Vipers and put them, like, if that's what we're doing, we're not doing that. Like, the whole best regular season record is real nice, but what? It's like, you know, the MVP, you have the MVP, like, the best team of the regular season, the Boston Celtics.
But they didn't win the actual season.
Yeah, but you didn't win the chip, bro. You didn't win the chip. The best team was the one who won a championship. So I don't agree with it. I just think we're doing too much awards. We got the Eastern Conference, the Bob Cousy Award. We got all these awards. The NBA is starting to give out a lot of awards. You know, what are we going to do that? The best first half of the season? What are we doing here?
MVP?
Yeah.
Best uniforms all season.
Yeah, the best uniforms.
Best city edition jersey.
Highest attendance. What are we doing? Like, let's just play ball 82 games and go for the championship. And then the one who wins, how about this? The one who wins a championship gets a trophy.
Ooh, that's new. That's innovative.
Yes.
I like that.
No second place trophy. If we're going to do that, let's have a third place. Let's have a third place series between the loser of the Eastern Conference final, loser of the West Conference finals. If we're going to be like soccer. Let's do, like, the World Cup has got a third place game. If we're going to do this, let's have a third place game. Let's do that. So last year, the Heat would have played the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. Like, let's have a seven-game series. I mean, if we're going to be like soccer, like, this isn't soccer. This is NBA, man, NBA ball. This ain't no regular season record. What are we doing here? Like, I'm sorry. This is just too much. Stop it, NBA. Stop it. Stop giving awards out. It's too much. You're giving enough awards. Everybody, you get an award. Let's have Oprah present them. You get an award. You get an award. Jason Tatum, player of the month. Play the first half. It just takes away the value of the playoffs or whatever. Now we're trying to emphasize the regular season where half these teams are using load management, taking games off. The day after Milwaukee lost to the Lakers, they rested three Drew Holiday, Giannis, and freaking Middleton, sorry, for the next game at Charlotte. Like, we're putting value on that? Nah.
See, Gary, here's the thing. Gary, I think you touched on why they do it. And you don't like it, obviously, but they do it, Gary, because they're trying to create engagement at a time when there isn't that much engagement. And yes, Kwani, it is about
money.
The cheddar.
Money is always involved in these things.
Think about it. If you are an agent and you know you got damn near 17 different regular season awards, you don't think you're going to find a way to work that into the contract where if your boy wins one of these awards, he's going to get an extra check here, an extra check there? Hell yeah. And you don't think that the NBA isn't thinking that, you know what? We got all this low management going on. We got to give people a reason to tune into these damn games. You know, and add an incentive beyond just the fact that you love NBA and that you love basketball. You got to give people something that keeps them enthralled. And no disrespect, Gary, but the soccer, they kind of got a good thing going on as far as fan engagement. When you look at the arenas, you look at the amount of attention that they get. If you're the NBA, you got to be feeling a little bit green with envy.
You know what soccer does. Soccer is like calculus. You don't understand. No, what I mean by that is that if I look on a game, is this a playoff game, a division game? They got regulars, warm-up matches, freaking exhibitions. Like, you're looking, and it's just like, okay, when the hell is a championship? Because every time I look up in a damn soccer game between Arsenal and, like, when is the finals? When y'all off-season, bro?
Gary, you know,
they got no off-season.
Soccer to what's going on. You like, have to be an engaged fan.
Not engaged, and it's too hard for me to study. Okay, so this isn't really important, but the really important game is this. But this is still kind of important. No, man.
Gary had an agenda to hate on soccer today. I know.
I'm watching the World Cup. I
watch it every 2 years. Nice.
Who you rooting for?
Every 4 years. Every 4 years, I watch a World Cup.
Who's your country?
U.S. fool.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. No, I don't know. U.S. fool.
They're not in anymore, so you got to root for somebody else.
No.
Cameroon. That's what you roll with.
Yeah, Cameroon. They beat out their colonizer. They beat their colonizer on Tuesday. So
Morocco. Morocco's an African country. Yeah. People don't really consider Morocco an African country, but Morocco is in Africa. Mm-hmm. So let's go, you know, if we're going to do that.
Oh, out there on the West Coast.
Brazil, I want to see Brazil play Argentina. When I went to cover the Olympics, I just learned, like, that is like Yankees Red Sox. That is, yeah, it is. Yeah. I remember being at a Brazil-Argentina basketball game, and the Argentinians traveled from Argentina all the way. Yeah, that's where they came from. Argentina came from Argentina.
Argentina's traveling.
Yep.
That's craziness.
Well, they jumped in a minivan or something and drove from Buenos Aires to Rio. And they got a whole section high in the stands and was chanting like all these chants in Portuguese or Spanish. And the lady next to me was a Brazilian. And I asked, I said, what are they chanting? And she started laughing. She's like, I can't repeat it. Like it was vulgar. Wow. It was like war because they just took what happened in soccer. So I want to see Brazil against Argentina. I don't know if they're in the same bracket. I got to look at my brackets, but I want to see those two play for the championship or the semis or whatever.
But Gary, that's part of the appeal. Why, if you're the NBA, you want to sample stuff that they do because you want to create that engagement. You want to create that excitement.
I agree with having a World Cup.
You want the NBA in many ways to look like soccer.
I agree with the World Cup idea. I agree with the World Cup idea in basketball. Like every other off year from the Olympics, like, you know, the Olympics will be 24, World Cup will be in 26. I agree with that. I think you can kind of mimic the soccer World Cup with basketball World Cup, but this whole, like, let's make the NBA like Serie A or the Champions League. No. I can't watch a match on TV. This is a big match. Well, is it a title? No. Is it playoffs? No. Is it arch rivalry? No. But if they win this cup, which doesn't really mean a championship, but it's some kind of Champions Cup, and then they go to the next round, and then that's when it really counts. Like, no, I'm confused. Like,
but,
my head
but,
is,
but Gary, don't we see that play out in the NBA when, like, the top team, like, let's say when the Celtics are playing Golden State, it's a regular season game, but it's still a pretty big deal. you're not going to win a championship, but you're going to have the feel if you're, as though you've accomplished something
significant. It's entertaining for December, yes, but we all know there's a regular season and then there's playoffs.
In soccer, they know that in soccer,
maybe intersecting, maybe, you know, maybe like, I'd be confused,
see,
man.
This is the thing. I'm going to give them more credit than you're willing to give them because I think that they're educated on their sport to where they can discern between when this is an important game.
I'm not educated in soccer.
This little mini cup. But the real chip that we're waiting for is going to be down the road. I think that fan base has the ability to discern when the game is significant in terms of value and when it's just a pretty good game that we should probably pay attention to. I don't think it's that different than the NBA. But if I'm the NBA, you damn right I'm going to try to steal what they're doing because it's what they're soccer, doing man. Is absolutely paying off. When you watch them play, when you watch the fan engagement, everything about soccer is on a bigger, larger scale than the NBA. If we're being honest and real about it. And that doesn't mean their game is better than the NBA. It just means that their fan engagement is on a much more global scale.
This is a worldwide sport. Basketball is trying to become a worldwide sport. Like soccer,
already there.
Everybody plays soccer. Everybody don't play basketball.
Right.
Like, you know, the NBA is trying to do great things to develop basketball in China and in India and in Africa, you know, which is a continent, not a country, obviously. But African countries, like the NBA is trying to develop to be at that level. But like, I understand. I'm just confused. Like I need introductory, like international soccer for dummies. Like this is, I know the teams, but you know, when does the game really mean something? Like, and when's the championship game? When can I watch that? You know, what time is that game? That's all.
Well, someone gets Gary some lessons on soccer, also known as football around the rest of the world.
Gary, I'm going to connect you with my dude, Dre Hills. He going to help you out.
Yes, I know him. MLS reporter. There we go.
Okay. I know you're talking about. I know him.
That's my
dude. He's going to get you right. He got me right. He's going to get you right, too.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've talked about all of the sports already. We have the soccer hater over here. Of course, the World Cup is in session right now. NBA season. I know. I'm just going to still call you that, though.
Don't put that out there.
The NBA season, as we know, has been underway. And BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. So if you do like soccer, go ahead and do so. Of course, there's also the NBA, like we mentioned, the NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That code, all you need to use is CLNS50. Once again, that's a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. All you have to do is use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online where the games start. We talked about the Juice Foundation. So I guess it's time for the Jaylen Brown segment of the podcast.
Finally.
There we go. Okay, first of all, we'll start off the court because Sherrod was not in attendance at the second annual Juice Gala at the Museum of Fine Arts. Why weren't you there?
Because I was doing what I do most nights this time of year, raising some damn papers from college students.
Okay,
trying to get them right. All right, Quarney Lunas not that long ago.
That's true. All right, that's so acceptable.
There you go. There you
Gary,
go.
Gary, you were there with me. What was your favorite part about the gala?
Blake Griffin is the host. He's a very funny guy. And I just like the camaraderie. I like that everybody from the team showed up, even three players from the Heat. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo, and Jimmy Butler showed. And showed. And then Jaylen invited, you know, and Jean McGuire, the 91-year-old woman, the civil rights activist, the woman who invented and created Metco and a Boston fixture. She was there and said a few words. And I think it's awesome that Jaylen has bonded with her, invited her to his, he visited her house a couple of weeks ago and took some photos and all that and talked to her for, he said, an hour and a half or so. And she came out and she's a lively woman. She was 91 years old. So
that was fiery.
That was the highlight of the evening for me, is that not only are these, you know, the players who are reaching out to the community I think that the players can do a lot more. I'm not saying they're not doing enough or whatever, but I think the little things that these guys could do, go sign a basketball, go make an appearance at a Boys and Girls Club, go shoot some baskets, autograph, whatever, for two or three. It don't have to be all day, and you ain't got to talk to Uncle Louie, and we talked about the Uncle Louie and Pookie and all that. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I know that there's some of these guys are worried about, you know, how it looks, or I don't want to, you know, I got other stuff to do, but just those little time that you could touch a kid's life, you know what I'm saying? And you don't have to be there all day, but just a Saturday on an off day, go down to the, you know, whatever neighborhood, Roxbury, Mattapan, Lawrence, you know, whatever neighborhood, and make an impact on the community, because there's a lot of kids that love the Celtics. The one that can't afford to go to games, would love to go to games, and would tell for years how they met Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They shook his hand, you know, not just the ones in the first row at the Celtic games. You know, I'm always a person that, you know, I'm hard on the Celtics about the T-shirt toss, and people think I'm being funny, but, like, you know, like, you don't throw T-shirts. You only throw T-shirts to the ones in the first level who are probably make a little bit more money than those in the 300. Why not throw T-shirts? And they have machines, and I've seen another one that go real high. So why not give the T-shirts to kids, to people who really want them, really use them, not the kid who's, I'm not saying, you know, every kid deserves something, but the kid who sees a ticket holder who gets, you know, everything or whatever, and has a waiter coming to him, bringing him cheeseburgers. I mean, what about the kid who's his first Celtic game ever, or first time seeing Jason and Jaylen live? You know, like, I think that's important.
Their parents had to probably splurge to get that ticket. Yeah. Couldn't get chicken tenders.
Reach those kids too, not just the ones, the, you know, the season ticket holders. That's our world. We live in a, you know, that's our world. It's a haves and have nots, unfortunately. But I think that the team and that the athletes could do more to with the community. And Jaylen is doing that, like reaching out, you know, he had his little Juice Foundation thing at the waterfront a couple of weeks ago. And these guys, I don't think they understand. And I think they do, but I think it's got to, like, it used to be, you know, when I was growing up in the Lakers, I grew up in LA, where it was like Michael Cooper was at the mall and he signed an autograph. Like, it was like, you could touch these guys. And then the community after that supported you. You know, people ask, well, why does L.A. love Magic Johnson and not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Because Magic, when he came to L.A., Magic reached out to the community. He became a man about the town. You know, whatever, white, black, green, Magic was L.A. Kareem never really embraced that. Kareem went right back up to the hills and chilled and played. And, you know, he didn't feel like he had to do that. So people were like, well, why isn't people like Kareem, and they respect Kareem, and I'm a Kareem guy, but Kareem never came down to where I was in to the mall or signed autographs or whatever, and just made a kid's not day, but life, you know, with shaking a hand or taking a picture or a selfie, you know, like, I think once you get to, you don't understand how important that is to young kids. Well, you know,
I think part of it, Gary, is that what we're talking about these athletes doing, you either do it because that's authentically who you are, or you choose not to do it. And I think a lot of athletes choose not to do it because that's just not authentically where they're at right now. Should they be there? Absolutely. I think when you have the platform that a lot of these athletes have to do some of the most simple things that could be life-changing, you should do that. But if you're not at a point in your career, in your life, where that matters to you, where it matters enough to where you're moved to do something along those lines, you don't. I remember, you know, when I was in Detroit, me and Richard Hamilton had a conversation one day, and he talked about being at a basketball camp where he got a chance to meet an NBA player and how that meant the world to him, because he's thinking that someday I'm going to have a shot at doing this. And I appreciate this dude coming in my neighborhood in Coatesville, PA, And just engaging us. And now it's no surprise, he would have camps, you know, when he was in the league, and he would be doing that, a lot of that stuff with kids as well. So I think a lot of it just comes down to what is authentically you, and right, are you comfortable enough with who you are to let others see that part, that side of you? Jalen has been like this from the jump. I mean, this brother came into the league, you know, trying to set up things with, you know, Silicon Valley, you know, things of that nature, and just really thinking the position that I'm not just an NBA player. I'm a businessman. I'm a CEO. I have other interests outside of my ability to knock down jump shots and dunk the ball. Mm-hmm. And Jalen has been very intentional about making sure you know that about him. You know, a few years ago when I was down, this was right before the pandemic, you know, rules set in, Jalen was working with his high school on a curriculum, working with their curriculum.
Bridge program.
Trying to implement
some things there. Working on.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the average NBA player ain't trying to
who got
let alone
go
back to school, let alone help his school educate right, everybody. And so Jalen is very unique in that regard. And you know, a lot of that just comes down to how he was brought up, the things that he places a tremendous amount of value on. And more than anything else, just willing to put in that work. And we see that in a lot of the stuff that he does off the court. But we tend to focus more on what's happening on the court, and understandably so. That's why he has the platform in large part, because of what he does on the court. But you know, Jalen, he's just one of them. He's a Renaissance basketball player. His bandwidth of interest is much wider than most, and you know, you got to respect that. You know, I mean, he's trying to be more than just a basketball player. And now, does that mean everything he touches will turn to gold and every decision he makes will be the right one off the court? No, he's going to make some mistakes. We sometimes forget that Jalen is still a relatively young man. I think he just turned 26, what, last month or something like that?
So
he's still in October, October 4th or something like that. But he's figuring it out on what he needs to do. And he's going to make some missteps along the way. But the effort, the intent, the focus, and just the sincerity of what he's trying to accomplish, I don't think you can really deny that that's real.
I think it is noteworthy of the fact that a team whose fans booed you, let's be real about that part. When you got drafted, you still found, because when you think, we talk about the NBA players in the sense of there was this argument about whether or not players should be loyal to the cities that they're in, whether it's like being from an Atlanta area or Jason Tatum being from St. Louis. A lot of times, that's where they go back to for their charity events. And that's understandable. But to become embedded in the place where you have your NBA career is also rare. And the fact that he was able to find out, you know, seek out Gene McGuire, the executive director of Mecca, which is a really big part of Boston's history, and she was a very influential person in the city, I think is very telling to your point of what he's done. But my favorite part about the gala was the fact that when I talked to Oladipo, who was there as well, Grant Williams, both of them said they had never been in the MFA. So I asked Jalen about it, and he said that the reason why he had the event in the MFA partly was because of the fact that a lot of people of color don't feel the need to ever step inside of a museum like that, whether it's the fact that our arts aren't displayed on the walls or the fact that we're not even represented in the arts on the wall. And if you look at the room that they were in, it was the Art of Europe room. So the fact that he used his platform to, I think, create a sense of belonging for people of color in those spaces, but also kind of send a message to the MFA in a respectful way of like, all right, we can put ourselves in these spaces, but as a result, you should at least make sure we're represented in the future as well. And one more point about Gene McGuire, Gary, I think you may remember this. At one point, she was honored during the gala, and then she's in the corner of the room right next to a painting that's actually entitled Boar's Hunt. And in the painting, there's a boar and like cats, like squirrels, like a bunch of different animals. So she's talking, accepting the fact that she's being honored. And at the end, she says, I want to see more African-American art in this museum. She points at the image and she's like, this is the most integrated image in the room right now. Everyone starts like chuckling or whatever, but it's like that awkward chuckle when you're like, dang, she's right. Mm-hmm. And then she just basically calls on the MFA to make sure that there is more representation overall. So I think in addition to raising money for the Juice Foundation, it's very powerful to have an event there because of the hopefully social change that can come from it, which is literally the guy's motto. So very well done, well executed event.
Yeah.
Yeah, where are you?
Great. We're educating the next generation. But other than that, that wasn't that important.
Yeah, don't do that.
The same thing, right? All right, we can talk about his on-the-court performance now, though. He has been pretty clutch for the Celtics at this point. What do you make of the fact that I think people are starting to recognize the Celtics as a good team right now, but do you think they're starting to recognize Jaylen Brown apart from Jason Tatum? Because there's always been the conversation of one Jay versus the other, when it really should just be the, which we've talked about, the coexistence of those two on this team.
Yeah, I think you got a situation now where, you know, we talk about Jason Tatum as a league MVP candidate, and it's just kind of a no-brainer at this point. And I think you got to start looking at Jaylen Brown as an all-NBA player. And it'd be a, I don't even think it's really that hard a conversation or discussion when you look at, he's doing all the things you're supposed to do. Impact score, improving your game overall, team winning, coming through in a clutch, and finding ways to impact winning in not necessarily being locked into just being a points getter. His rebounding is much better. His passing is much better. And lately, his defense is like really good. I think the last two or three games, it may have been the best stretch he's had defensively all season. And the issue was never whether he could do it. It's just whether he could put that together along with having an impactful game as a scorer and rebounder. And so right now, Jaylen Brown is an all-NBA player. I don't think that there's a whole lot of debate about that. When you look at the things that he does, you look at the numbers that he's putting up, and you look at Frank, I mean, think about that Brooklyn game. Dude dropped 20 points in the first quarter. Think about 20 points. Some guys are happy, giddy as all get out. If they can drop 20 in a game, he gets that in the first 12 minutes. And when he did it, you didn't feel like he was forcing shots. He was literally taking what the defense gave him and snatching what they wouldn't. And that, to me, is why he's creating his own legacy, his own lane of how he's being viewed. And it's good to see, because, you know, he was one of the guys that resisted as much as anyone that whole, you know, can Jason and Jay play together? Do we need to split them up? And, you know, low key, I mean, if we're keeping it really 100, having a chance to play against Kevin Durant for the first time since all those KD for Jaylen rumors, come on. You don't act like that wasn't
moving. Prime time television, baby.
Because look, that was exactly, that was one of them games where I get, not only do I get to a shot at busting the dude that some folks thought they should have traded me for, but I get to put Kyrie in his place. And I love Kyrie, that's my brother, but sometimes you gotta put your brother in his place. And he did that repeatedly. And when he didn't do it, he had his homie Peyton Pritchard give him Kyrie the business. And that's a sentence I thought I would never, ever, 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 ever say in life. But as a witness to the game, I can say it confidently.
You can attest.
Yeah, I think Jaylen is having an outstanding season. He's taking that next step. You know, and he's playing good ball. Just playing good ball, comfortable, worked. You could just see the work he's put on his game. And to me, he's shooting 50% from the field. You know, and that's mostly 2-point shots. He's learned how to shoot well from the mid range. Two, he's learned how to finish better. Those are the two key components. And like Sherrod said, he's playing strong defense. He's, you know, here was an example. Last night at Toronto, he does a beautiful move, goes up, Scotty Barnes blocks it. Jaylen doesn't sulk. He runs down the floor. I think causes a loose ball. I don't know if it was with Barnes or with like Gary Trent Jr. I think it was Gary Trent Jr. Knocked a loose ball and, you know, knocked it out of bounds. So instead of sulking about, man, I got my shot blocked. I'm embarrassed. Oh, whatever. He got down the floor and got a deflection and like got a, you know, and caused and stopped them. Stop Toronto from like a break or just having, I think it was like they might have had the advantage on the break.
Yeah.
And like that was, to me, that said a lot about Jaylen. Like, one, everybody gets blocked. Right. It's the league. And secondly, you can't lament missing shots or getting blocked. Get your ass back on defense and make a play. And that's exactly what he did. Cause I remember like looking at the game and I thought it was Marcus who did it. because that's Marcus, that's a typical Marcus dive on the floor, you know, Russell and all that, right? Then I looked, it was Jalen that got up. I was like, oh, wow, Jalen was the one that made that play. I swore it was Marcus, because that's a Marcus play. Dived on the floor, and I think he, like, had a, and then, like, the ball, like, rolled out of bounds off him or whatever. And it was like, wow, that's, like, that's huge for him to get back on D. And I think now he's comfortable with his own skin in terms of, like, he knows his place on the team. He knows his place in the league. And he knows, hey, I'm a good ball player. I don't have to prove it. I'm not saying he doesn't have anything to prove, but he doesn't have to prove, well, can he live up to the, being a third pick? Can he be as almost as not as good as Jason? Like, I think he's answering those questions. And I think that they're getting along great in terms of their symmetry on the floor. So for me, I think that it's been a just a wonderful kind of step forward for him. And I think ones that fans were expecting after, you know, the turnovers last year, some of the missed free throws, things like that, that were obviously glitches in his game. Like this year, he's shooting 83% from the line. Last year, 76. So, I mean, that's a huge jump. Yeah. A darn near 8% jump in his free throw shooting. And he's getting more free throws a game. So the numbers show he's worked on his game. One more rebound per game than last season. He's playing a few more minutes, too. He's playing, you know, Joe Mazzulla. In the Joe Mazzulla system, you play minutes. So he's playing two more minutes, but he's averaging more rebounds, a tad bit more assists, better free throw percentage, about the same three-point percentage, and more better two-point percentage. So I think he's worked on it, and there's still things he can work on, but I think for Celtics fans, it's got to be heartening to see him take that next step. That's exactly what they need.
Especially at a time like this. Before we move on to the mastermind behind this successful season, let's talk about your business. No one has a business like yours with all its strengths and challenges. To succeed, you need a hiring partner that adapts to your needs. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for the candidate with the right skill set, Indeed's powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. You can find great talent faster through time-saving tools like their Indeed Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers say that they get quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job. When you post and sponsor a job on Indeed, you're actually three times more likely to get a hire. And with Indeed, you can actually select the skills that matter most to you, add from a selection of over 100 Indeed assessment tests to that job post, and it'll help you hone in on the candidate with the right skills faster. Even better, Indeed's the only job site where you can pay for the applications that meet the requirement that you are looking for. So you can start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/A-list. You can claim that $75 credit right now on Indeed.com/A-list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. And you know where I'm going with this. A great hire for the Celtics, of course, or promotion at least, was for that of Joe Mazzulla.
Indeed he was.
There we go. I like it. But Mazzulla did say that the Time Lord is pretty close to returning. What will be our expectations from Mr. Robert Williams III?
Stay healthy. I don't care whether you play 20 minutes and you got a big fat bunch of eggs across the stat line. Stay healthy. They're not going to need him until they get to the playoffs. And when I say need, I mean they're not going to need him to have a significant impact or presence until they get to the postseason, because they've already figured out how to do this damn regular season thing without him. Sure. To me, the regular season, and to some degree, it's a tune-up for everyone, but it really is a tune-up for Robert because of the number of games he's already missed and the fact that they have figured out ways to be successful without him. And the games, the way this team is built right now, the course of this team is on the path of right now, is all about a championship. And Robert Williams III, he enhances your likelihood of winning a championship. And that enhancement comes to full fruition once you get to the playoffs. But they need him back so that he can get comfortable, so he can figure out what his role will be and things of that nature. Because again, Robert Williams, I do believe at this point, his return will significantly impact Boston's chances of winning a title. I think right now without him, I'd say that they're the odds on favorite. With him, I think they're the undeniable favorite. I don't think there's a close number two to them if they got a healthy Robert Williams, based on how they played, based on how guys at every single level are contributing. And last but certainly not least, based on the way that defense is starting to look a lot like last year's defense in terms of impacting the games. When you're blowing teams out because they can't stop you from scoring and you're putting the clamps on them at the other end of the floor, you're going to be putting up a C note by three quarters while the other team might be chugging close to seven.
Struggling.
And again, Robert Williams, he's a big part of just advancing the style of play and the success that this team is having right now.
Yeah, I think, like Sherrod said, just keep him healthy, bring him back slowly, they'll do that. They'll be cautious about it. Make sure he gets his, gets back in basketball shape, makes an impact, plays his 20, 23 minutes a game. And just gonna say, keep him under bubble wrap, keep him healthy, keep him ready for April. Cause that's the key. You want him healthy in April. You don't need him healthy, right now. And then him getting hurt. And obviously this is a guy who's had a series of injuries over the years. So the question is, do you expect that he's going to get hurt again? I'm not talking about a major injury, but do you think he's going to have an ankle or a hip or something like that? You probably do, right? You probably expect, okay, we're probably going to, something's going to come up, knee soreness, ankle, something, you're going to have to expect that. Robert is not a 75 game per year guy. He just isn't. And will he ever be? I don't know. But early in his career, he has not shown that type of durability. But he has shown that type of effectiveness when on the floor. So you want to make sure he's on the floor. You want to bring him back slowly, maybe a 10 minutes here or 5-minute intervals, 5 minutes in the first half, 5 minutes in the second half, and then 15, and then maybe 20. And now you have other guys who can play. You have Al Horford who can get it done. You have Blake Griffin who's gotten it done. Even Luke Kornet's gotten it done. So you don't need to put Robert out there for 36 minutes in a game or whatever. Just keep him and make sure he communicates to the training staff, hey, I'm feeling good. Hey, I'm a little sore. You're just going to have to – that's how you're going to have to treat him, because somehow, unfortunately for him – unfortunate things tend to happen to him injury-wise. He's had some real strange injuries, like hip edema, things like that, is just to the point where you have to realize that that's who he is. And I think the Celtics' most important responsibility is to keep him ready, make sure he's ready for April. Make sure he's ready for the Bucks, for the Raptors, for the Heat, whoever they play in the playoffs.
All right, let's quickly play pick and roll, because we have to play a game on not every episode. We have been missing some, but that's neither here nor there. Pick and roll, pick a player. Why are you rolling with them? Blank isn't getting nearly enough credit for his role in Boston's fast start. It doesn't have to be a player. It could be a coach. Could be an executive. Could be a president.
It could be Kwani. It
could be me.
It's not, though. I'm gonna go with Gary's favorite player, Derek White. He's not getting enough credit for his role in his start, because again, he is a guy that his ability to knock down shots, it allows them to keep him on the floor and not consider playing the whole offense defense game. His ability to knock down open shots is hugely effective in them being able to do a lot of what they want to do offensively. And because of his length, because of his defensive acumen, he gives them another guy that when teams are looking to switch, there's not going to be this significant drop off in terms of the opponent having advantage over who they're switching out onto. I look back at the Brooklyn game where you had moments where you had Kevin Durant, being guarded by Jason Tatum, and then he winds up being guarded by Jaylen Brown, and then it's Derek White, and then it's Al Horford. And it's like Kevin Durant is a great scorer and can score on all of those guys. But there isn't this significant drop off when he gets switched out on one from another. There is a change, but it's not significant to where you know that Kevin Durant is about to get a bucket because this guy can't guard him at all. And that's the benefit of having a Derek White out there who not only can defend, but you can't slack off him defensively like we saw teams do last season. You have to respect his shot. Otherwise, he's going to make you pay. And the minute you start respecting his shot and giving him the attention that he deserves, that's going to mean you're not giving Jason Tatum as much attention. You're not giving Jaylen Brown as much attention. And that's why so many times we're seeing now they're able to get to the cup and finish because teams are not able to slouch off other guys as much as they could before. And Derek White, to me, is the best example of why that is maybe the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team. Having more guys who can knock down open shots, something that Derek White has done much more, a much better job of this year than he did last year.
I'm going to say Grant Williams. I'm going to say just a guy who his price has gone up. The Celtics should have signed him.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yes.
It is what it is. And, you know, he just continues to make plays. He's really worked on his three-point shot. He's in addition to that, he's really worked on faking at the three and driving to the basket and being a threat at the rim. Yeah. I think that's an element of his game that I don't think the Celtics expected, anyone expected. And people were like, well, okay, well, if he learns how to shoot the three, he could be a 3-and-D guy. But he's now gotten teams after that Milwaukee game in the playoffs last year where teams are going to come out on him and respect his three. And then he'll just say, okay, I'll pump fake, drive to the basket, lay it in. That's another element.
Toronto triple teamed him. And I'm like, for a second, I was like, why are y'all doing this much for Grant? It was towards the end of the game. But to your point, I think they really see him as a threat now, which is.
Yeah. So to me, he has been the unsung hero of this team. He has stepped his game up, brought his game to another level, and the price has gone up. I mean, and we haven't talked about the Al Horford contract extension.
We have not.
He'll be here another 2 years. And I think that was probably more geared toward carving out a salary slot for Grant, because now Horford makes 26 this year, but that goes down to 10 next year. So that's not, now they get Grant $16 million. They're going to have to maneuver some things and figure some things out. But I do think that makes a slot that they can create for Grant in terms of maybe bringing him back. Now, Grant might have said, well, I would have taken 16 in October, but now my price is 20. Mm-hmm. I'm a 4-and-80 guy. You know, he might think that. So we'll have to see what kind of language Grant's talking about next year, next summer, when he's a restricted free agent, and other teams are going to see him and say, hey, you ain't got to back up Jason and Jaylen. You can be one of the top two or three guys in this team. So you never know. The Celtics might have backed themselves into a corner by not re-signing him, and Grant's going to force the issue because Grant, as much as he's talkative and works the rest probably a little too much, but he is a good ball player, and he's turned himself into a very good ball player after, you know, some ups and downs in his first couple of years. I think he has been the unsung hero.
That's a good pick, Gary. I could rock with that. It gets me to thinking about a team like Charlotte that's got a whole lot of need a little bit of everything. And I wonder, would he be open to going home and playing for his hometown team? Because they're going to be looking to do a lot of things this summer because they're just trash, if we're being honest and real. They got problems. But I think Grant, ultimately, I think his decision is going to come down to, am I going to take the bigger payday or am I going to take a chance to stay with a really good team?
Yep.
And basically, you know, be a major role player for a year or two and probably start in another couple of years in place of Al. Because, I mean, he really is the guy that you can see is the, you know, he's going to be the successor of Al. You know that. A lot's going to just depend on where Grant's at the time where he got to put pen to paper. Are you cool with being like maybe the third or fourth option on a team that's competing for a title? Or do you want to roll the dice and have a prominent role on a team that's probably not as good as the one you're on now? And you might be catching L's and L's and L's like my man Terry Rozier. Because T. Rose, that's my dude.
He got the money.
And I'm happy that he got multiple bags, which is important.
Yeah.
But damn, the losses. Woo. Lots of losses that he's taken. But I tell you who is not going to be taking losses.
I knew you was about to do that. That's so funny.
I tell you who's not going to be taking losses. My people who are going to be rocking with Rocket Money. Yes, indeed. Are you wasting money on subscriptions? 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. Maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. Been there, done that. It's not a good feeling when you realize that you've been literally throwing money out the window and not realize.
The richest man in the world.
What's that?
No, just to the richest man in the world at that.
Then there's that, yes. There's this great app that I use that helps me track all of my expenses. And because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. You might have heard of it. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? And this was for me, this was like the come to Jesus moment when I'm looking at, and it breaks down like what I'm paying. I'm like, damn, why am I'm paying how much? Rocket Money it does a great job of bringing all those things to light and helping you figure out what you want to keep and what you need to get rid of. I no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. And that's a big thing, particularly at this time of year where you're going to be spending a little bit more money on the holiday season, like Gary's going to be spending for me and Quanti's Christmas gifts. And you want to save some money. You want to have a little extra spending money, and Rocket Money can certainly get you there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know exist. There's this app that I love, again, that takes care of that for me. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows you all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Awesome. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't even know you're paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. That hasn't happened to me, but there was a couple of subscriptions that looked a little sketchy, and it turned out, yeah, I was being double billed. So yeah. Rocket Money saving you money and then some. To cancel a subscription, this is really, 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 really easy. All you have to do is press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. So get rid of those useless subscriptions with Rocket Money right now. Go to rocketmoney.com/A-list. Seriously, it could save you hundreds of dollars. That's rocketmoney.com/A-list. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/A-list. Back to the Quanti Lunis production.
Thank you. Thank you very much, co-tri-host. So the Indiana Pacers.
Gary, go get your girl, Gary.
Call back. All right. So the Indiana Pacers, surprise team thus far, 13-11, fifth in the East. What do you make of them?
I'm going to go take this one, Gary.
Yeah, you take that one.
I love what I'm seeing out of the Pacers. Anyone who's been around me for the last X number of years knows how I feel about Rick Carlisle as a coach. That's my guy. Mm-hmm. That man can he look, I've seen him pull some incredibly amazing success stories out of teams that were just trash. He won 50 games with a Detroit Pistons team that had no business winning 15, let alone 50. And so he's that good. He's at his best when I think his teams are not given much of a shot of being anything. And he's finding ways to win games. He's got those guys competing. They play hard. They play smart. And when the game is tight, he finds a way to get them over the finish line and get that win. They're going to be a tough team throughout the regular season. But come playoff time, when you get the lock in, they won't be around very long. But again, that wasn't the point. That wasn't the point of this season for them. This was a growing season. And for them to have a competitive regular season, that's going to bode well for them going down the road.
Yeah, I think the Pacers are just, like Sherrod said, playing hard. A lot of good young guys, you know, Nembhard, Benedict Mathurin. And then kind of the center of the crew is Tyrese Halliburton, who obviously came over from Sacramento last year. Buddy Hield, Miles Turner. You know, they just have a bunch of young guys. I mean, our friend Aaron Nesmith has gotten some minutes for them. They just play hard and they scrappy and they don't have a bunch of big names, you know. Jackson, the kid from Kentucky, the center, you know, is played well. Isaiah Jackson, like they have guys that you are not household names, you know, or not guys you're just like, oh, I saw him in college, but just they have drafted well, obviously. And they made the Halliburton trade. And I said, they were able to get Neesmith and get under from Brogdon's salary, because they were not at the place where they wanted a veteran point guard with a bunch of youngsters. But they, you know, the East is wide open and they have played well. They won at Golden State the other night. Nemhard, the kid who hit the game winner, because it seems like they've been out West for like a month. But the kid who hit the game winner at the Lakers had 31 last night, career high 31 against the Warriors. I mean, so this is a team you got to look out for now. I think that people thought they were going to completely tank. But you saw kind of an excitement that Carlisle had with, like, you know what, let's rebuild. Let's get some of these guys out of here. You know, the Brogdons, the guys who, you know, from the previous administration when Indiana was kind of trying to push, you know, post Paul George, trying to push for that next level, and they never quite made it. There was a lot of problems and injuries and coaching changes. We said, you know what, let's start fresh. Let's get a bunch of young guys in here. Halliburton would be the central figure. You still got Miles Turner still there, even though he's been traded 17 times, you know, on paper and on the internet, and the same with Buddy Hield. And I think they like playing with each other. And those are the teams, if you look at like them, Oklahoma City, teams that are just young. That's what the league is about. That's what the league is about these days. It's not necessarily the big names. It's, can you play together? Can you have that chemistry and good coaching?
Moving along around the NBA, Kyrie Irving is no longer a Nike athlete. And I saw he actually replied to one of the reports and he seemed a little ecstatic about it. So what do you think he does next shoe-wise? Because the Kyrie shoe has been a very popular shoe amongst the youth.
Would I be the only one not shocked if he winds up being the next athlete on Ye's group? Would that surprise anyone?
It wouldn't, but Ye's still trying to figure out what he's doing because he hasn't had any support with,
Do you think that would be a deterrent for Kyrie?
Oh, no. I could easily see them going independent and just making something from scratch, making their own brand, which I wouldn't put past either of them. They have the money to do so.
I thought Kyrie alluded to that a little bit about, you know, when he talked about his supporters and
he said, essentially. Like,
yeah, it seemed like he was trying to low key say, maybe we need to galvanize our resources and let's do our own damn thing, which I think that would be interesting. That would be very interesting.
I did also see the sneakers are 50% off on some sites. So does that mean
for real?
Not him looking at it right now. But does that mean he would still get a cut if that's the case from Nike? Is that part of the contract?
In the language of his contract. I think once it's terminated, there may be a period of time where if any sales or proceeds garnered by X date, then you get whatever percent. Or it could just be once the contract is terminated, that's it. You get nothing. I don't know the specifics or the particulars of his contract along those lines.
Yeah, but they are 50. I don't know if this is good that I'm saying this, but they are, every sneaker is 50% off. And I am very curious to see what the numbers are. Yeah, any Kyrie sneaker on the Nike site right now is 50% off, which I don't really like the way these look. But I mean, a lot of people love his shoe. So I'm just curious as to what's next. Gary about to buy you some for Christmas. $64 for $80 pair of sneakers isn't bad.
I feel really bad. Oh, they got the sustainable material.
See, I done created a rabbit hole. All right, next in the league as...
All right, what you saying, Kwani?
Exactly. Christmas presents. Anthony Davis, do you two think he's a sleeper MVP candidate? 8-2 in the last 10 games for the Lakers, 35 points, 3 points per game in that span. I don't know. Do you think he looks good? Do we care about L.A.?
Well, let's just talk to LA's finest, Gary Washburn. What's up with your boy?
Man of the people.
I think he's playing some of the best ball of his career at this point. 55 points against the Wizards. He has been a man among boys in the paint. And I think that he's changed his game. Stop taking threes, stop taking the mid-rangers, get in the paint, do that dirty work. play hard. The numbers will prove itself. And, you know, he's still relatively young. He's only 29 years old. So he's still got time to kind of turn it around. I know the reputation that he's well-earned is, you know, being always hurt and street clothes. And does he really want to be great? You know, does he really want to be one of the best of all time? Or is he good winning that the championship in the bubble and kind of just being, you know, a guy, you know, LeBron's kind of not sidekick, but his teammate, and is that good enough for him? You know, it's time. I think people have been waiting for Anthony Davis to take his game to the next level, to be consistent and be dominant. And that's what he's done. So it's been fun to watch him play without, you know, getting hurt and the Lakers, you know what? They're not a championship caliber team, but they're starting to get it together under Sherrod's buddy, Darvin Ham. I think they're going to be well coached. I think they're going to make some changes and all that. But, you know, you don't want to see the Lakers 4-20, maybe Celtics fans do 4-20 or whatever. But I think they have too much talent for that. It's good to see Russell Westbrook fill into a role off the bench and just play and just like, listen, man, I'm just, you know, because it's getting to the point where Russ is like, listen, Russ, you got to do what you got to do to stay in the league now, man. Like, you know, everyone's watching how you react to certain roles. And if you pout about coming off the bench, your chances of signing, you know, ain't nobody going to sign you to no max deal being their starting point guard anymore. Like, you're 34, you're become more erratic. Those days are over. So your best bet is to be that, you know, utility guy, you know, Swiss Army knife type of guy who can do a little bit of everything, keeps the game within, don't do too much, you know, and be that guy who can last a few more years in the league. So I think he understands that. But I think Davis, yeah, he's emerging as an MVP candidate. Now, you know, if the Lakers win, you know, 38 games, it might not, he ain't win no MVP. But if they win 48 games or 50 games, which, you know, they'd have to make a real run to do that, then I think he would be really up for it.
There we go. Well, they're looking forward to where you are right now, Gary. The Celtics are playing in Phoenix on Wednesday, Golden State on Saturday. What are your expectations for this West Coast trip, if any?
Win, baby, win. Get that dub over the Dubs. That's what you want. The Golden State game is one I'm looking forward to just to really see where the Celtics are when it comes to playing a team that's not just a good team, but they're the ones that sent you, that ended your season. Are you going to play tight and put too much pressure on yourself to win that game? Or are you going to do what you've been doing all regular season? And Golden State, this, I think, is for them is an opportunity to remind people that they are the defending champs, because most of the season has been about the Celtics' ascension, with Joe Mazzulla leading the way, Jason Tatum league MVP, you know, Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things, Malcolm Brogdon low-key giving a major juice off the bench, all these different storylines about the Celtics and what they're doing and how awesome they are. And Golden State's, you know, they've been just kind of like treading water, basically. And so this is an opportunity, and it's in their building. So this is a great opportunity for them to almost kind of reset the conversation a little bit and make sure that people are reminded that they're kind of nice too. And they kind of win a lot of games too. And they know that while this game isn't going to, like, you know, it's not going to be the be all and end all to your season, it's an important game. It is an important game from a confidence standpoint. It's an important game from your fan base's standpoint. And it's an important game if you're the Boston Celtics to continue to do what you've been doing all season long. And that is taking on each and every challenge, finding a way to win, and leaving your imprint on the game as the team that everyone is still trying to chase. And this is another opportunity to keep that mojo going.
He agrees. Well, that's a wrap on the A-List podcast. Of course, make sure.
Probably you... one of my opinions. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, Sherrod went on a soliloquy there.
That's right. It's a woman queen. Is that your word today?
Soliloquy. Reverend Sherrod showed up. So I think that
we should have one of the day often.
You got four games left, four competitive, tricky, very tricky games. You know, you'd like to go, if you're the Celtics, go 3-1. Get that Warrior game is kind of a sending a message, but the Phoenix game will be tricky. They're playing up and down. They got blown out by Dallas the other night. But they can easily take all four. You know, they're capable of that. And I think they're motivated to do that. But I think if they come back 3-1 in the next four, because now, as they say, in the, you done won the first two games of the trip, so now you got to get greedy. They may have thought, okay, let's go 4-2. And now you done won the first two, so okay, now let's go 5-1. Or, you know, let's try to win three out of the next four. And you know, I think they'd be disappointed if they split the next four. So I think I think 3-1 and maybe that, you know, game off a back-to-back in L.A. against the Lakers might be a little bit difficult. Maybe, you know, Devin Booker goes for 50 tomorrow at Phoenix, and that, you know, Phoenix has given them trouble over the years, or, you know, obviously Curry and Thompson and those guys will be fired up. So it's going to be good quality games, good basketball. But I think if the Celtics go 3-1, they'd be very happy, but I think the guys had to go 4-0.
And speaking of West Coast and entertainment news, the People magazine is reporting that Nia Long and Emi Udoka have broken up after 13 years together following the NBA coach's alleged affair. You don't have to comment, but I just felt like it was noteworthy because it does affect the Celtics.
Yeah. You hate to see any of that kind of stuff, you know, dissolve the way it has, but, you know, Nia got to do his best for Nia. I mean, and her kids, which I think that's, you know, that certainly is a factor in all this. So, and Ime, he's got to figure out a way to move on and move forward and just, you know, recalibrate his career and his life, whether that's coaching or doing something else. So you hate to see it, but it's not a surprise or a shock or anything like that.
Well said, yeah. Sean.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree? There you go. Well, that's a wrap on the
Gary Shield of approval. That's all we wanted in life.
All you needed. It took the whole podcast episode, but we got there. This is the A-List podcast. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, betonline.ag, indeed.com, and of course, Rocket Money. Make sure you check out all of those links, especially if you want to save money in different areas of your life. Really? For A-Shaw Blakely and Gary Washburn, I'm Kwani Lunis, and thank you for listening to the A-List podcast.